All right, well, we've talked a little bit about plants and a little bit about animals, and now we're going to address the third other major domain of life, the microorganisms. My name is Anthony Yannarel. I'm a microbial ecologist with the University of Illinois, and I'm also the bastard that sent Mike out in the field in 9-degree weather to dig up Lespedes acuneata, so beware. I also work with Dick Gephardt and Ryan Busby and our collaborator Steve Taylor. So ecological theory has recently kind of turned its attention to what's called above-ground, below-ground feedbacks in terms of plant communities. And the idea is plants, let's see if I can get this thing to go. Here we go. Not only do plants compete with each other and have density-dependent effects on their own populations, but they also interact with a variety of soil microorganisms. And plants can both change the composition of the microbial communities in their root zones, but then the microbes that live in their root zones also affect the fitness and performance of those plant species. So there's a feedback loop between the plant and the microorganism. Now, in the meantime, your neighbor plant, who may be a competitor, is doing the exact same thing. And so not only do you have to deal with the microorganisms that you're setting up, but you may have fitness consequences due to the microorganisms of the neighbor. So not only do the plants compete directly with each other, but they can set up these indirect competitive fitness feedback loops below the ground. And depending on the way you wire these systems up, you can get competitive exclusion happening even when there's very little plant-to-plant competition mediated by microbial effects. And also, you can get strong plant competitors to coexist because of the activity of their various microorganisms. Now, I think Mike did a really good job of setting up why we're concerned about invasive species. This is a particular invasive plant, Lespedes acuneata, or Serratia lespedeza, as it's been formally known. It's a leguminous plant native to Asia, and it was introduced to the United States from Japan in the late 1800s. Being a legume, Lespedes acuneata has known relationships with soil microorganisms, in particular nitrogen-fixing bacteria that can provide the plant with fertilizer on even poor soils. And there's even some documented evidence that the plant may be interacting with mycorrhizal fungi in the roots. So we know that the plant itself has some strong interactions with microorganisms, but we're not exactly sure whether those interactions can extend out into the broader soil microbial community to set up those kinds of feedbacks that we're talking about in terms of the plant and its competitor, its native competitors that we're concerned about preserving. Now, Lespedes acuneata is considered a weed of concern on several military bases, including Fort Stewart, Fort Benning, Forts Campbell, Leonard Wood, and Riley. So what Mike and Dick and Ryan did for me in the summer of 2009 is they went out to all five of these military installations. They identified stands that had high densities of this invasive Lespedeza. And you can see what that looks like. I mean, these things pretty much grow as an essential monoculture, choking out native legumes and other plants in there. They also identified stands that had low densities of Lespedes acuneata and a higher species diversity of native plants, and then they found a control site that lacked the Lespedes acuneata. So three stands at all five of these military bases. They collected a root zone, what I'm calling the root neighborhood soil, of four Lespedes acuneata at every single one of those stands, and also some native plants that happen to be present at some of the stands, you know, including the control stands and the low density stands. So this is just a summary of all the various plants that were sampled through it. We have at least two stands with Lespedes acuneata at every single site, and then some of these natives were kind of more sporadically sampled because they're endemic to one base or another, or only found in one site. But I want to point out that all of the plants included in this study set are legumes. So we're kind of looking at the neighborhood soil effect as a function of what legumes can do to the soil microorganisms and how those changes may influence the plant competition. So just to kind of focus, there's a lot you can do with this data set, but our focus questions really were, across its whole invasive range in the United States, is this Lespedes acuneata changing the soil microbial communities within its root neighborhood? So here's an example of what the root neighborhood of Lespedeza cuneata plant looks like, just kind of all the soil that sticks around in the root ball once you've dug it up. Can we detect those changes in comparison with soil that doesn't have any plants particularly associated with it, and in comparison with neighborhoods of its competitor species? Are the changes that may be associated with Lespedeza cuneata consistent across its entire invaded range? And does it depend on the severity of the invasion at any particular site? And I don't have a lot of time to go into the methods real in great detail, but just to kind of introduce you, what I do in my lab is basically can be thought of as community microbial DNA fingerprinting. So I take the soil samples that I'm given, I extract the DNA from it, and then I can look for signals due to all the different bacterial and fungal species that are present in that soil sample. And those signals essentially look like these look like HPLC chromatograms, or is there any other type of chromatography chromatogram that you might think about? But in this case, every peak on these really rugged diagrams represents a different microbial species. And by comparing these fingerprints between different soil samples, we can see, for example, that this species is present in both of these samples, and these two species are only present in one sample or the other. So I can compare these fingerprints using ecological similarity indices to kind of get an idea of what's changing the entire microbial community in relationship to our treatments. And when I do that, I kind of make these non-metric multi-dimensional scaling diagrams. So what you're looking at here is a scatter of points. Every point represents a different soil sample and the microbial community, in this case the bacterial community, associated with it. Two samples that generate very similar signals because they have similar bacterial communities will plot close together. And ones that have very different composition in the microbes plot further apart. And so what tends to happen is that factors that are very strong in controlling microbial species community composition will cause these points to cluster together in the diagrams. And what you can see is that across the entire study site, there's not actually a very strong pattern of clustering due to anything. So we uncovered a very complicated relationship in the microbial communities across all these samples. When you analyze the data, so the graph on the left, I have them plotted with the colors and the symbols coded from the military installation they came from. And you can see a general trend from Stewart and Benning, our two Georgia sites over on this side of the diagram, progressing as we go to the more western sites over there. But there's a lot of variability in the data set, a lot of overlap there. But in total, the variability in all of those bacterial species that we saw that can be attributed to these state-to-state changes amounts to about 9% of the variance in the data set. What's interesting, though, is that if you take this exact same scatter plot, and so these are the exact same points on here, but what I've done now is I've connected each point to the center of gravity of that group of points, and I've colored them based on the invasion density of that Lespedeza cuneata plant. And what you can see when I plot the data this way is that the center of gravity of our control points is up here. The center of gravity from our low invasion sites is different, and the center of gravity of the high invasion points is different still. So what you can see is that even across all of this geographic variability that we saw in microbial communities, there's a tendency that highly invaded stands have similar microbial communities across them. So that's for bacteria. I can do the same thing with fungi, and the story is really the same. There are some geographic patterns in here, but what we see is this drift in the center of gravity of heavily invaded sites. So this is evidence that heavily invaded sites of Lespedeza cuneata have altered microbial communities in both the bacteria and the fungi. Now, when you look at the plant effects, because we had plant species that were endemic to different states around there, you get a strong plant effect, but a lot of that is co-founded with this regional variability state to state. So when I remove that and only look at plants within their particular military base, there's no significant pattern due to plants. So I'm not finding strong neighborhood level effects of the native plants or the invasive plant. So here's just another way to look at those data. This is the amount of variability that can be explained by the density of L. cuneata at its stand across the site. And you can see that at most sites, we can explain about 10% to verging on 25% of the variability in microbial communities just knowing the density of this invasive plant at the site. And this is essentially what that looks like if you just focus on one site. So these are all the data bacteria and fungi at just Fort Stewart. And what you can see is that all of these points over here, which are color-coded based on the plant species they came from, there's not a very strong pattern by plant. They're kind of scattered all over the place. But the high-density site, again, has the center of gravity of those points displaced from those other ones. So our conclusions are that Lespedeza cuneata, and in fact most of these legumes, don't appear to be exerting very strong influences on their neighborhoods. But when you have a heavily invaded site of Lespedeza cuneata, you can essentially think of that entire site as an expanded root neighborhood of that Lespedeza cuneata, and we do find significant shifts in both the bacteria and the fungi. It explains a very small part of that entire community composition, which probably indicates that there's only a few bacterial and fungal species that are strongly responding, and in future work we kind of want to tease out which bacteria and fungi they are and what the actual effects are. And this is consistent across the entire invaded range in spite of geographic variability, climatic variability, and other things that we captured. And I zipped through it a bit. I think I've left a couple minutes for questions, so I just want to acknowledge again all the guys that did the hard work out in the field, Ryan, Mike, and Dick, and I'd be happy to take any questions if you have them. Oh, yes, in the back. It does. So it's interesting. It's an interesting weed. It's considered an invasive weed in some states, and it's not in others. And yes, it was once very aggressively planted. I think the planting started in the southeast, and it's kind of moved into the Midwest. People kind of adapted. And they thought it would be a good management plant because it can grow on low-quality soil, so they thought this was going to be a good plant to rehabilitate soils. Some people planted it for soil stability. Some people thought it was a good wildlife forage. Every time they do these things, they kind of get disenchanted with actually using it, and often they wind up abandoning it. But it is still planted in some states as forage for wildlife. I've seen a lot of references to using it for goat forage, too. So yeah, it's kind of a weird thing with an indeterminate characteristic. Okay, well, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.